If you and your family are taking a trip to the Orlando area this year, your little ones deserve to stroll in style. Lugging a stroller from home can be an annoying and frustrating part of the first leg of your journey, and renting those hard plastic strollers from Disney theme parks can be both costly and uncomfortable for your kids. Well, I'm here to tell you about the solution to your child transport problems, and that's Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is a Disney-featured stroller and crib provider that does exactly what you're looking for at a great price. Not only is it less expensive than renting a stroller from the theme parks themselves, but these are padded luxury models with features like drink holders, canopies, storage baskets, and more. What's more, you keep this stroller with you for your entire trip, whereas park-rented strollers, you gotta return them before you leave the park that day. This is gonna make those late-night post-fireworks bus stop queues so much easier, and dad's shoulders are gonna thank you for it. So, how does it work? You just go to kingdomstrollers.com and make your selection on the stroller or crib that's right for your child. Just let the good folks over there know a great time for delivery and pickup and where you'll be staying. You can pick your stroller or crib up from the luggage stand at your resort and then drop them back off there at the end of your stay. So pack light, leave your stroller at home, and save up to a whopping 50% versus park price stroller rentals when you visit kingdomstrollers.com.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hi, folks, you're listening to Two Men and the Mouse, episode 105 on the White Dragon Podcast Network, recorded live on April 4th, 2016. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the larger Disney universe beyond it. My name's Kevin Kessler, and I am joined, as always, by my good buddy, Peter Mandel.
Kevin Kessler.
What are you doing?
Nothing.
Yeah, none?
Just recording a little Two Men and the Mouse.
Yeah, just living that. Oh, you really going to do that? I love that show.
Let's do it then.
Yeah. Folks, we are two lifelong Disney fanatics who have managed to keep the magic of Disney alive in our lives every day. We want to share that magic with you. So pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones, and let's experience the magic together. Pete.
Kevin.
There's a bit of Two Men and the Mouse news to start this off, a little milestone that we hit.
Okay, hit me. What is it?
Yeah, I haven't even told you about this because I wanted your reaction on the air. On Podomatic, the server that a lot of podcasts host on, that we also host on, we are the number one places and travel podcast for Podomatic now for about a week straight.
Wow, it's about time.
Yeah, right? And also, congratulations are also to the Extra Magic Hour here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. They're number six.
Wow, nice.
It's not number one, but, you know, it's something.
No longer just number one in your heart. Now we're literally number one.
Exactly. Anne and Dimitri, congratulations. And just really wanted to know, how does our dust taste? Good? All right. Because they ate our dust.
I got it.
Yeah. All right. You ready for the news, Peter Mandel?
I'm ready for it.
The news, as always, brought to you by Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, who will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. That's Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent for Two Men and the Mouse. The news compiled, as always, from Passholder.club, which is your one-stop shop for all Orlando attraction news. So Walt Disney World, Universal Studios, SeaWorld, Jamie and the guys over there have got it all going on. I'm actually a contributing writer for this site now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I wrote an editorial piece about the price increases and whose fault is it. Basically just kind of comparing, like, is it the new regime? Is it, you know...
You didn't blame me, did you?
Is it Shanghai? And yeah, and then I said at the end of the day, I said it's Peter Mandel's fault.
He's got something to do with it.
You know what? Because you'll pay no matter how high the prices get.
You are right about that, actually.
Yeah, so it actually might be your fault. It might be the fault of the Peter Mandels of the world. But, you know... can't fault you for that. I do it too. Okay, so worldwide news. You know our friend Tom Staggs, who we love to talk about in his stupid voice?
Yeah, he's still working on it?
No. Yeah, I'm still working on it. He's not working on it anymore because he stepped down from the Disney company this week. And you know, with these high-ranking executives, stepping down of your own accord to, you know, quote, spend more time with your family or whatever they want to say, that's usually akin to you got fired.
Right. Why did he get fired?
You know what? Obviously, we're not going to ever know the whole true story behind it, but the purveying rumor is that a lot of the things that he set in motion, Shanghai, Disneyland, Disneyland Paris, like a lot of what he's doing with Disneyland Paris, the fact that Star Wars Land got so pushed back, the magic bands basically costing way too much money, a lot of that led to the current financial woes that the company is going through, which is why we're seeing labor cuts and things like that, which most of the blame for that goes to Shanghai. So yeah, that was all under Staggs' watch, and now it's almost like the new regime is kind of having to clean up the mess.
Right.
And you know, he was the heir. Everyone thought he was the heir apparent. When Bob Iger leaves the company in 2018, everyone believed that Tom Staggs was going to take over, and you know, his Dr. Doofenshmirtz voice was going to rule the entire Disney company. But he didn't.
Well, I hope he has a good time with his family.
Yeah, me too. I mean, you know, he's going to have a lot of time now.
You know, it's weird. You know, you think of like how many things, you know, you try and put in motion and you try and, you know, give back to the people who are buying. And it's just, it's a hard financial line to balance it. You know?
You know what though? Like from like a selfish perspective, I love Tom Staggs because he gave us a lot of things that I love. Like, you know, he gave us Magic Bands. He gave us My Magic Plus. He's giving us Star Wars Land and Toy Story Land. New Fantasyland was Tom Staggs. So like he's done a lot of good.
I think a lot of people look at, you know, Walt and how Walt would take the money that Disney made and kind of put it into something else or put it into the next thing. And people feel like, oh, that's what we have to do. Like, you know, we have to be these like pioneers. But you got to remember something. Walt, in a lot of situations, whether it was doing, you know, feature length cartoons or theme parks, he was creating something entirely new, which honestly is very, very hard today just because, I don't know, so much has been created already.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a weird financial line. I know nobody wants to hear, you know, that Disney's got to watch their dollars, but you do. I mean, it's the only way you can kind of steadily grow. So
that's why you have Peter Mandel on a show, because he brings in insightful information like that. Okay, so no Disney Springs news this week, but we do have some resort news.
Oh, what is it?
More dates have become available for the afternoon tea at the Beach Club. Takes place in the Crescent Solarium. It involves high tea with some savory snacks, some sweets, and alcoholic beverages as well. The dates are now May 5th through 8th, June 16th through 19th, July 1st through the 4th, and September 1st through the 5th. And this takes place between 1 and 5 p.m. daily. You can make reservations there by calling 407-WW-DINE or contact your travel agent like Dave Weichert of Magical Travel, who will plan your Disney vacation.
Are you going to try and get in on one of those dates?
No, I did high tea once in my life, and I hated it.
Why?
I don't know. I just didn't like it.
Yeah, but this is Disney high tea.
Yeah, but still, I feel like between 1 and 5, there are other things I could be doing in Disney World.
What if it was Disney high C, and instead of tea, you know, you had some, like, fruit punch?
Oh, if it's Ecto Cooler, I'm down, but that might be more universal.
Ecto Cooler was actually pretty good.
I heard there's a big rumor that Ecto Cooler is making a comeback because the new Ghostbusters movie that looks terrible.
No, it does not look terrible.
Oh, Pete. That trailer was awful.
It's not awful.
And here's the thing. I don't personally think that this movie is going to be terrible, because how could it be? Because you have a lot of really funny people both on camera and behind it. But whoever cut that trailer, man, that is an awful, awful trailer. When Melissa McCarthy goes, oh, that's going to leave a mark, I'm like, that's really funny if this is 1957.
Listen to me. That trailer has one thing that Ghostbusters doesn't.
What?
Ghosts. So let's actually go watch some ghost busting for the first time in our lives.
Yeah, but then they're like, oh, it's like a human that's like controlling the ghosts. I don't love that.
Yeah.
There were ghosts in Ghostbusters.
Barely.
Yeah, barely. That's true.
I had to deal more with the EPA or whoever they were than I did with actual ghosts.
It was the 80s.
I know. I could tell by the rampant smoking throughout the entire movie.
Yes. In water park news, Blizzard Beach is going through another three-day closure currently. It is closed April 3rd through the 5th, reopening to guests on the 6th. Typhoon Lagoon will reopen from refurbishment for those 3 days. A lot of problems over at Blizzard Beach.
I know. It seems like they always have something going on.
At this point, just knock it down and build a new water park. How much could it possibly cost? Tom Staggs would have approved it. Maybe that's why he got fired. All right, in Magic Kingdom news this week, sponsored by our good friends over at Magic Band Budget. Don't lose track of your vacation expenses. Manually track and budget what you're spending at Walt Disney World with Magic Band Budget on the iOS App Store, available now for all iPhones and iPad devices. Also, you can visit magicbandbudget.com for that. So Stitch is now greeting guests in Main Street, USA.
Huh. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, originally he was in Tomorrowland, which I felt made a little bit more sense. But, you know, they took him out of Tomorrowland. Now they've got him right in the town square at Main Street. So, you know, like where you can normally meet like Pluto.
Yep.
Yeah. So he's there now. He replaced Marie from the Aristocats. She's not there anymore.
I'm glad I got Marie while we were there.
But you can always get Marie in France. But I guess, you know, getting her on Main Street is something.
Yeah, it's always a good picture. I think that's a weird spot for Stitch, but...
I think it's a really weird spot for Stitch, but, you know, like, why, like, if you're going to bring him back, why isn't he just in Tomorrowland again?
You know, I mean, I can't help it, and you know, I love Stitch, and mm-hmm. I have a million Stitch pictures and tons of Stitch stuff. I can't help it. I just got burnt out on Stitch, you know?
Yeah, I get that, because, you know, Stitch was everywhere for a very...
Everywhere.
Stitch was Elsa before there was an Elsa.
Yeah, I mean, it was funny. When that movie came out, you couldn't get Stitch anywhere. Like, they didn't know what to do. And then
they were not prepared. Like, you never know what's going to catch fire.
Right. And that movie was, you know, the budget was slashed and, you know, no one really expected much of it. And it becomes this, you know, kind of crazy hit. And in turn, you know, when you go to Disney World, there's like a Stitch in every park. It was out of control. Mm-hmm. So... And I guess I've seen Stitch a lot.
Yeah. The Walt Disney World Railroad is closing for 2 weeks. That'll be April 11th through the 22nd, reopening to guests on the 23rd. How often would you say you ride the Walt Disney World Railroad?
You know, I don't a lot, and I wanted to this time, and we didn't.
I rode it not too long ago, but not like because I wanted to ride it, because I was in Frontierland, and my feet hurt, and I was just like, I don't feel like walking back to Main Street. I'm just going to take the train.
But that's the best. Using it as a mode of transportation is the best way to use it.
And you know what? And it's something that not a lot of people know to do.
Right.
Like, you're in Frontierland, you don't feel like walking back all that way. You've hopped that train. You can hop the train from Frontierland, you could hop it from Fantasyland, and Main Street USA. Those are the three. In Fantasyland, I mean the Storybook Circus.
The last time we rode that, I want to say we got off in, like, Toontown.
Yeah, that Toontown station is now the Storybook Circus station.
Yep.
I love it. I love that train. It's cool because, like, you see, like, things behind the scenes at Magic Kingdom that you've never seen before. Like,
I know you're not going to want to hear this. It's, you know what it is? The Disneyland train is so awesome. Ugh. It's so great.
What makes
great.
It better?
All right. Well, the Disneyland train actually has, you go through these like dioramas, these like life-size dioramas of like dinosaurs and stuff.
You go through like, you know, Native American teepees and stuff in the Walt Disney World one.
Yeah. And that's kind of cool. But if you want to make it even better than that, it actually just rides like through Small World and stuff.
Does it really?
A lot of the rides there are outside. So you go kind of like through like the back part of like Small World. I don't know. It's really, really cool.
Okay. I like how you knew that I wasn't going to like to hear that.
I knew you weren't gonna, and I don't blame you, but it's, you know, the one in Disney World's cool, but it's much better as a mode of transportation.
Right. So the 2016 Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party dates are now available.
Okay.
So this will be, they're doing 21 nights this year, which is the same number as last year. That is November 7th, 8th, 10th, 11th, 13th, 15th, 18th, 27th, and 29th. Also will be December 1st, 2nd, 4th, 6th, 8th, 9th, 11th, 13th, 15th, 16th, 18th and 22nd. That 22nd will be the last one before Christmas.
Those are a lot of dates.
21 of them. Not as many as, you know, Not So Scary, but it's a thing. It happened. I will probably try to go this year to Very Merry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't do it last year, and I don't want to say I regret not doing it, because I stand by my decision to not go. You know, like, by finagling it so that I could still walk down Main Street in the snow, I experienced what I need to experience.
I could see, though, how you'd want to go every couple of years.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like it's a thing I need to do every year, especially not when there's Christmas shopping to be done and things. Like, there are other things that $75 can go to.
Right. Well, again, I think that's a weird, you know, a weird situation for someone who's a resident, like,
right.
You know, someone who's exclusively there on vacation, like, you know, they have time, but
of course,
as a resident, you got a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. In Epcot news, we got a bunch of Epcot news this week. The Tomb Warriors exhibit in China is closing for a refurbishment. That'll be closed May 2nd to the 16th, reopening to guests on the 17th. Do you guys go through the Tomb Warriors a lot?
Never.
Never once?
Nope.
It's like the only thing to do in China other than eat.
Yeah, I don't do much in China. I would like to. Tell me, what's it like?
I mean, it's just a bunch of statues.
Yeah, I like statues.
Yeah, and I think there's an Agent P experience in there. Speaking of which, Agent P's World Showcase Adventure, a recent update to this is broken by our friends over at Passholder.club, recent update to this is now allowing you to use your own phone for Agent P's World Showcase Adventure.
Well, that sounds good.
Yeah, I think you still, from what I understand, you still have to go to the kiosk to get it activated, but once it is, you're good to go.
Interesting. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, super interesting. I'm a big
fan. I'd rather not have to return something. And
Yeah, you know, and I feel like I would, like, even if, like, honestly, they should just make it an app that you don't have to stop anywhere to do, because then I would do it all the time.
Right.
And yes, I know you have to stop there for literally, like, 2 seconds, but I don't know. Like, I still sometimes can't, like, bring myself to just stop. So the Sounds Like Summer concert series has been announced starting on June the 5th. It's all cover bands, as it usually
okay.
is. All right, ready for this?
Yep, hit me.
Okay. So June 5th through 11th is a band called Don't Look Back. You know, we're going to play a little game here, Peter Mandel. I'm going to say the name of the band, and you tell me who they're a cover band of.
Oh, I won't know any of them. If they're playing at Disney World, I won't know any of them.
Don't Look Back.
No idea.
A tribute to Boston.
Okay.
June 12th through 18th, Hotel California.
The Eagles.
Yes, a salute to the Eagles. June 19th through 24th, Rumors.
No idea.
A Fleetwood Mac cover tribute band.
Okay.
June 25th through July 1st, Simply Tina.
Tina Turner.
Yes, it is. A tribute to Tina Turner. July 2nd through the 9th, Stayin' Alive.
That'll be my birthday. I'm going to say the Bee Gees.
It is a tribute to the Bee Gees. July 10th through the 16th, Bruce in the USA.
No idea. Just kidding. Bruce Springsteen.
Yes, it is the one I'm most excited for, a tribute to Bruce Springsteen.
I know. You're a Bruce guy. You've gone to see Bruce in concert, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm a huge Bruce guy. I've been to concerts before for Bruce. Bruce was my first live concert. He also was my last. You know,
you've only been to one concert?
No, like the last one I went to was also a Bruce concert.
Oh, I thought you were saying you only have been to one concert, and that was it. That's
no,
like,
I've
wow.
been to two. I'm literally two.
Okay.
Yeah. Bruce twice. And July 17th through the 23rd is a band called DSB.
No idea.
It is a tribute to Journey.
Okay.
So
a new Journey being there somewhere.
Yep.
No 2U this year?
No, they're not there at all.
Hmm.
Which I was just talking to my roommate about before. That's strange that they're not there.
I know, it's strange because I would have gotten that one.
But yeah, you got most of them, I would like to add.
That's surprising to me.
Also in Epcot news, Joy and Sadness have arrived over in the character spot. I saw a picture of, I haven't been over to see them yet. I actually did go to see Baymax for the first time the other day.
Yeah, we met Baymax when we were there.
Yeah, and then So Joy and Sadness are like just beyond Baymax, and their whole setup location is actually pretty cool. It looks just like the control room of Riley's brain.
Is it super crowded?
I mean, all of Disney World is super crowded right now with it being spring break. Like I was in Magic Kingdom last evening, and it was just very, very crowded. I met a couple of my friends there. Here's the thing about being a local, Peter Mandel. Sometimes the crowds aren't as terrible of a thing because, and this is going to sound so strange to you, we sat in Storybook Circus in the air-conditioned circus tent for like 2 hours.
Why?
Just sitting around talking.
Okay.
We're all locals, so it's not like we're rushing to do, like, it's not like we have to cram, you know, all this stuff in. So, you do Disney in an entirely different way when you're from a local perspective. Because, like literally, we sat there for 2 hours. Like, a week ago, we sat for an hour in the writer's stop and just, like, hung out. So, like, you kind of do Disney in a more chill way when you know you're...
So it's kind of like your mall.
Pretty much. It's like our hangout. It's just like,
right.
a park that you go to.
In Jersey, we all grew up going to the malls.
Yeah, we all went to the mall. We were all mall rats, which...
Right.
I do like that movie. Anyway, the Stave Church in Norway is closing for refurbishment as well.
Oh, it's having a Frozen refurbishment?
Well, it already is about Frozen because the exhibit in there is already Frozen. That's going to be closing April 18th to May 27th, reopening to guests on the 28th. Now, this is interesting because rumors are abound, Peter Mandel, that Frozen Ever After, the new dark ride experience at Epcot, will be opening May 28th.
Wow.
No official word from Disney yet on that, but that is the rumor that they will be opening.
Unless Tom Staggs just threw that rumor out there.
On his way out the door? Like he just releases all this confidential information?
Just to create some chaos.
Now, Disney Board of Directors, feel the wrath of my secretinator. My throat hurts now.
That's what you get for doing the Stags.
Yep. Now I won't even be able... Like, I always meant to, like, one day apologize to Tom Staggs when I inevitably meet him when he's head of the Disney company, and they bring us in to shake our hands and say congratulations on episode 1,000 of Two Men in the Mouse. I would be like, by the way, Mr. Staggs, I'm sorry for all the Doofenshmirtz voices that I've done for you in the past. Now I don't get that opportunity.
I know. Man, it's a bummer. Although now maybe we could have him on the show.
I mean, maybe if he's, like, working at, like, Walmart next week or something like that, I can run into him and be like, oh, hey, man, sorry about that. And for so many other things.
We should really try and have him on the show now to get to the bottom of this. It's time we went to some investigative reporting.
Yes, just, like, ask him really probing questions like it's hard copy.
Right.
Where is
this family that you're spending time with?
Yes. What exactly are you doing during this time, Mr. Staggs? How much time do you really need with them? Yeah, so the 28th. I mean, I'm Jones for a Memorial Day open for this attraction. I'll be there day one.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'll be there day one, and I'll Periscope and whatever other awesome things we need to do. That does it for Epcot news. We got some DAC news, Disney's Animal Kingdom. Actually, this is actually news for Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge, or Dackle, as I like to call it. A little Dackle for you. Dackle.
You didn't like my silence?
No.
Oh.
I you know, I do everything for your reaction, so.
I know.
It's called Sense of Africa. It includes a Boma breakfast. It's going to include exclusive dishes plus the Boma breakfast buffet.
Oh, wow.
So right away, you know, you're getting some breakfast.
That's something.
A cast member that is actually from Africa will then share stories with you and explain some secrets of the restaurant. You think it's stories about Africa?
If
they're just like, once upon a time, there were three pigs. One wanted to build his house out of hay. Another out of sticks.
I don't know. I don't think that's it.
You don't think that's what it's going to be? You don't think it's going to be like all Mother Goose fables?
No.
What's the moral of this story? Excuse me, I thought we were going to be learning about animals. Oh, you want to learn about animals. Okay, once upon a time, there were three bears. I'd be like, I paid a lot of money for this.
and you'll get every dollar's worth out of these stories. These have life lessons for you.
These are more than just fables.
Slow and steady wins the race. You can apply this to everything in your life. Were you not listening?
Tom Staggs.
Okay, so after the nursery rhymes, you the cast you get put on a safari truck and you head backstage for close up encounters with giraffes, okapi, and ostriches.
Okay, how close?
I don't know about you, but I don't want to be close to an ostrich. Like I feel like that could turn out really, really badly.
Well, again, how close are we talking about?
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, how close would you get to an ostrich?
I'm not an expert in ostriches, so I would get as close as an expert told me I could get.
Okay, well, I am an expert in ostriches. Don't get too close.
Okay.
They are mean, nasty birds. Like, you know, well, what's too close, do you think, to, like, get to a giraffe? Because, like, you can get close to a giraffe. They're not going to hurt you.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think giraffes really, you know,
well,
are going to...
Well, I mean, there are zoos where you can literally feed a giraffe out of your hand, and it's gross, by the way. Don't ever do it.
Right, because they're all, like, tongue, right?
Yeah, the black tongue comes out of their mouth and, like, licks your hand, and you're like, aah! That's exactly what I did as a child when that happened. When the giraffe, like, licked a cracker right out of my hand.
Really?
Listen, I mean, you know me. You know me and animals. Like, we don't, like... Like, I enjoy them from afar, but when we get close to each other, it's, like, a bad experience.
Right.
Like, so literally, my mom is, like, making me feed this giraffe. So I'm holding out the cracker, and then its tongue comes out and literally almost wraps around my entire hand. So I panic, and I drop the cracker, and it falls in, like, the space between, like, the giraffe's pen and, like, where I am. And the giraffe looks at me like, thanks for nothing, kid. And ever since then, I've been like, that sarcastic giraffe was really mean to me. I mean, you name an animal, Pete, I pretty much have a traumatic story about
it. I know, you and animals, it really is something.
I know. It's actually like a huge point of contention.
I mean, can't you, what, do you have a crazy dog story?
Not really.
See, that's the one I would think you would have one.
No, because everybody has a crazy dog story. I have crazy owl stories, giraffe stories, killer whale stories, you know, like all that kind of stuff.
Right, right. Okay.
Okay, so in Disney's Hollywood Studios news, sponsored by thecookandwookie.com for all your recipe needs. It's thecookinwookie.com. I was there at the dawn of the third age. No, I was there... this past Saturday for the last day for a lot of things.
Okay. Like what?
Well, I was at the very last Lights Motors Action Stunt Show.
Man.
Let me tell you something. When's the last time you saw that show?
I've never seen that show.
Never ever?
No.
Interesting. Well,
unlike you, I recognize there are things in Disney I don't want to do.
Okay. Well, going to the last one was pretty cool because, like, listen, like, I've gone, like, the last one I went to, I was with Katarina, who's one of our listeners who was also apparently blackmailed into guest hosting the Extra Magic Hour a couple times.
Okay.
With Dimitri. And, you know, I'm not, you know, it wasn't my favorite thing in the world to do. I'm glad I was there for the last one because let me tell you something. The last show, it was packed, dude.
Oh, I can imagine.
Packed. The guy that plays the director, like, he threw in a lot of, like, little things about it being the last show. Like, you know, when he said something about, like moving the show along, he's like, I got 11 years of footage that I got to finally go through and edit. Because the whole point of the show is that they're filming a scene for a movie.
Right.
So he was making it seem like there's 11 years worth of footage. So I found that funny.
That's pretty funny.
There were a lot of former drivers that were in attendance, and they all sat in the audience. Like people that used, like stunt people that used to work there.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So one of the things is they bring a kid up and they have the kid, like, you know, use like do like the remote control like car. But it turns
don't tell
out
me
it's, the... it's not actually a remote control car. It's an elaborate hoax.
The kid was you?
No. I'm pretty sure it was the director's son because they made a few like jokes about it. They were like, wow, he looks a lot like our director here. And the director was like, what's your dad's name? And I'm like, it's you, isn't it?
That's cool, though.
Yeah. But then, like, the kid got to, like all the drivers came down and, like, shook the kid's hand and stuff like that. Afterwards, they did a big speech where they were talking about, like, you know, you know, thank you for so much for, you know, 11 years of this and yada, yada, yada. And then at the end of it, they all, you know, the director said, finally, for the last time, cut, print. And, you know, it was like a big celebration. They brought all the other drivers up on the stage. They all jumped into the water, which I thought was pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah, it was neat. It was like a cool thing to be able to be like, okay, I was there for that.
Right. Yeah, I get that.
Also got to take one last walk down the streets of America.
How was that?
You know, I once again wondered aloud why it had taken this long.
Right. You know, it's funny. I was looking at pictures in my photo album this weekend from our most recent trip on Streets of America. And I'm like, man, I would say I would really miss that, but there's nothing there to miss.
Right? Like, you think, you're like, oh, Streets of America, I'm going to totally miss that. And then you realize, like, no, I'm not, like, at all.
Right.
So all the walls are now up as of yesterday. So it is a park that is completely walled off now, pretty much. Everything from, you know, the other side of Muppets is pretty much completely walled off.
There's just not much there.
No, there really isn't. And, like, they've actually put out updated park maps that just, it, like, the size of the park on the map is so small.
That's so funny. You should grab me one of those maps. I would like one.
Yeah, I got to grab you one of those maps. But at the end of the day, it's also funny because, like, there was nothing there anyway. There was nothing there to begin with.
Right.
Like, there was nothing there but the stunt show and the backlot tour. So there's always just been nothing there. But now apparently, from what I'm hearing, it's becoming like Hollywood Studios is now way too crowded because there's not as much space to disperse guests into.
Right. But, you know, plus at the same time, you're bringing in all these people with these, like, you know, Star Wars things.
Yeah. And so let's talk about that for a second. The stage is up for the new Star Wars show. I've not seen it yet, but I have not heard great things.
Oh, no.
I've heard that it's 60% watching clips from the Star Wars movies.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
And then, like, they're like, and here's Boba Fett. And he comes up and he poses and then he leaves. And here's Kylo Ren. And he comes up and he poses and he leaves. By the way, I don't know, when Ethan did Jedi Training Academy on your last trip, did the apprentice fight Darth Maul at the end?
No, he didn't do it last time.
He didn't do it?
No.
Why?
I don't know. He didn't really want to.
Did you watch the new one at all?
I did a little bit, yes.
So did the apprentice fight Darth Maul at the end?
No.
That's the way it was. Who'd they fight, Kylo Ren?
No, it was the Darth Vader and the...
And the Seven Sisters. But then afterwards, like, the apprentice does, like, an actual choreographed fight. It used to be Darth Maul. It is now Kylo Ren.
Oh, you know what? I probably didn't stick around for that long. That's very cool.
Yeah. So that's really neat as well. So
Darth Vader shows up and Kylo Ren all shows up.
Well, because they're not, like, actually... It's not actually Darth Vader. It's, like, the Jedi... It's, like, the temple is, like, strong on the dark side. It's, like, the cave on Dagobah. And, like, it brings to life a manifestation of the dark side. So for the kids, it's Vader and the Seven Sister. And then the apprentice shows fear. It used to be they showed fear about Darth Maul. Now they show fear about Kylo Ren.
Oh, that sounds cool.
The Force, like, materializes Kylo Ren. And the apprentice has to, like, fight it off.
Oh, I would like to see that.
It's really, really neat. And then, like, at the end, they have all the Padawans, like, hold their hand up and, like, use the Force to, like, push Kylo Ren back into the temple.
Hmm.
So on the walls, you know how they like to do, you know, previews on the walls. They have the concept art for Toy Story Land on there.
Does it look good?
Yeah, it looks good. It's changed a little bit from when we first saw it. Like, the Slinky coaster looks a little bit bigger. It's all online. You know, the pictures and stuff. I got mine. You can find them on passholder.club, I'm sure. Yeah, you'll be able to, you know, just take a look at a side-by-side comparison with the original. And that is the news. Real quick, when I was in that last Lights, Motors, Action, I took one last photo because I was sitting, like, way up on the top, so you got to go back down the stairs at the end. I took one last photo of Walt's plane that's still sitting back there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because gone. The Eiffel Tower's coming down, too, so that's going to be gone. But I saw what remains of Catastrophe Canyon from the backlot tour.
And?
Smoking crater, pretty much.
Yeah.
Just completely gone. The other thing that I heard about the overcrowding issues going on right now with this is that, they closed two quick service locations. So now all the restaurants are like overflowing now because it's still spring break. People are still in the park. And there are two less, one of which, you know, Backlot Express was huge. Like, it's one less thing to, you know, be able to go to.
Then what did they do? Because Backlot Express had all those, like, Star Wars-inspired foods.
Yeah, but now Backlot Express, that's the one in the back there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the one in the back by, like, where Lights Motors Action was. The Star Wars-inspired foods are at Studio Catering, which is...
that's the one I'm thinking
which
of.
Which is by Star right. Wars. And I might be mixing the names up because I always mix those two up. But yeah, that's right there. You know, the one major loss that I feel from this whole thing? The walls are covering my beloved fountain from Splash.
You know what, though? Come on. Your loyalty lies to a different fountain in that park.
Yes, but... Like that fountain, of course, the Muppet fountain is my life, but like the Splash fountain has a piece of my heart. I do love that fountain.
You do like that.
I really, really, truly, deeply love that fountain. Just sad to see it go. March Magic. We have a little bit of an update on that. I forgot about that before I was about to close the news section.
Oh, yeah. Tell me.
There was a major upset, Peter Mandel.
Okay.
The Gracie Manor Ghouls knocked out of competition.
Oh.
By the Tower of Terror, of all things.
Interesting. Well, like, you know, the fix was in.
Honestly, I'm wondering if the fix was in.
Right.
Well, you know what? We'll go over what the Fantasy Four are. In Walt Disney World, we have the final matchup is going to be the Space Mountain Blast versus the Tower of Terror Bellhops.
Okay, interesting. No one saw that coming.
No one saw that coming, which completely ruins my bracket.
I know.
Yeah, the Space Mountain Blast defeated the Phoenicians, I believe.
Bummer.
Yeah. So, thank the Phoenicians for not putting up that much of a fight. And over in Disneyland, to the surprise of no one, it's going to be the Caribbean Cannonballs, Pirates of the Caribbean, going up against the Haunted Mansion Holiday. So, by next week's show, we should have our final round set.
What do you think it's going to be?
I'm going to go Holiday against Space Mountain.
Yeah, I think that's it.
I mean, if Holiday wins, do I still technically win?
I don't think so.
No? Is that not how March Magic works?
I don't even remember. Who did I pick to win?
I think you picked Holiday as well.
Well, I guess we'll see what they do.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, so that does it for the news this week. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back with our e-ticket attraction of the week. So stay tuned, folks. More Two Men and the Mouse coming at you right after this. You know, Pete, it's hard work planning a Disney vacation.
Of course.
Your whole family has to get going. You got to pack everything up. You got to figure out where you're eating. You got to figure out where you're staying. But you know what makes life so much easier, makes your trip planning a more fun experience?
Tell me. That sounds like something I need.
Absolutely. You need a travel agent.
Do we know one of those?
We absolutely do. We know our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse, folks.
We've both used him.
Yes, we have. Dave Weikert plans our Disney vacations all the time, and we would not recommend him if we didn't use his services ourselves. Dave started his Cranford-based business here in 2008, and in that time has been planning hundreds of Walt Disney World vacations. Dave plans every trip as if it were his own, and you will never find someone more passionate about Disney. Very easy to work with, and will do his best to make sure you're satisfied. Working with Dave, you're likely to pay less and get more. And what's better than that, Peter Mandel?
Tell me.
You never pay a charge for Dave's services. It is 100% free. Dave will plan your entire trip for no additional cost to you.
That sounds awesome.
Absolutely. Dave has helped over 875 families enjoy their Disney vacations. A graduate of the College of Disney Knowledge, Dave has visited every Disney World resort and has personally stayed at 12 Disney World resorts. He's dined also at every Disney restaurant. He's crazy about Disney food.
That is an accomplishment.
Absolutely. I wish I could say I did
that.
That's
like the snack challenge times 10.
Yep. Dave also gives you Disney dollars for land packages and shipboard credits for any Disney Cruise Line vacations you might be going. This can be used as cash at any Disney destination or store. Traveling with kids in your party, Dave will also provide you autograph books for all your kids.
You gave them to us?
Absolutely. Your kids went down with Dave Weicker autograph books.
Of course.
Well, Disney autograph books supplied by Dave Weicker.
Depends had his name on it.
Dave simplifies your life by booking your complete vacation, including resort stay, airlines, Disney meal plans, and park passes. Also, checks daily for new discounts. When specials are announced, he immediately checks availability and rebooks your vacation at the lowest possible price. Dave can also book all your Disney dining and will do his best to get hard-to-book reservations like Cinderella's Royal Table and Be Our Guest. It's really, truly a no-brainer. Folks, take the stress out of your life. Dave Weicker of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse.
On a Walt Disney World vacation, have you ever let your Magic Band account balance get out of control? We all have. Don't lose track of your vacation expenses. Manually track and budget your spending while at Disney World with Magic Band Budget, an iOS app available in the iTunes App Store. Magic Band technology is great, however, spending can get a little out of control quickly because it's so easy and fun to use. Save money by tracking and budgeting your expenditures before you get an unpleasant surprise when your bill arrives upon checkout. Magic Band Budget is the only app of its kind designed for quick and easy input so you can enjoy your vacation with your family while keeping yourself at ease knowing your exact Magic Band balance. Just listen to this review. I just used this on my 10-day trip to Walt Disney World and it worked very well. Entering the receipts for our 6-person family on the go saved a lot of time. We actually changed some of our eating behaviors as the food budget began to explode. Thanks for such a useful app. Magic Band budget features include a personalized trip budgeting tool set for your spending limits, an easy input expense tracker with graphs and percentages of budget used, a customizable countdown clock with Facebook integration, a helpful vacation savings fund tracker, tips, tricks, and so much more. Download Magic Band Budget today in the iTunes App Store or by visiting magicbandbudget.com. Do you want to embrace the inner gourmet in your life? Do you tire of a life of hot dogs, ramen noodles, and Pop-Tarts? Do you long to wow your loved ones with homemade delicious meals and chuck that kid cuisine in the trash? Well, good thing we've got thecookinwookie.com. The Cookin' Wookie is a food and recipe blog designed to walk you through recipes that will dazzle your dinner table. Tim Elbing is our Wookiee host, and he will take you on a culinary journey that will make you and all of your dinner guests thankful at your next Life Day feast. So let the Wookiee win your loyalty, folks, and head over to thecookinwookie.com. That's thecookinwookie.com. Fire up your oven, and may the forks be with you.
Do you like the Disney parks? I do too. So does my little sister. That's why we started a podcast about them. Hi, I'm Dimitri Ravanis. The name of our show is The Extra Magic Hour. You can hear new episodes each and every Thursday here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. You can also find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Now, in addition to telling you what we love about the parks and doling out some news and tips, we'll do something a little different. We'll tell you what we hate about the parks, where the mouse can improve, and we'll do some fighting. Well, not fighting. We call it friendly debate. Things that Disney fans have been debating and arguing about forever and ever. You'll hear them played out in real time between a brother and a sister every Thursday right here on the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Hi there, this is Monica Pinto from the Mouse in Our House podcast, inviting you to join me here every other Friday for all things Disney from my perspective. Let's face it, with our fast-paced lives in a crazy world, always running from one place to another, from hectic work days to family responsibilities, from household chores to those never-ending errands, it sometimes seems impossible to survive until your next Disney trip. How to turn that around? Easy, by keeping a little bit of that Disney magic in our everyday lives. So go ahead, sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee and a little something sweet, and let's chat Disney. Join me here on the White Dragon Podcast Network every other Friday, where we'll celebrate all the magic, all the fun, all the memories, and even some stuff that's not so magical. But don't worry, a little bit of pixie dust should take care of that. So until then, I hope you remember to keep the mouse in your house.
Hello, I'm Storybook Julius, the White Dragon Podcast Network's resident Canadian and the host of Storybook Radio, a Walt Disney World and Universal Studios podcast appearing every Wednesday here on WDPN. Walt Disney was a storyteller, and well, so am I. Now, I'm not saying that I'm as cool as Walt Disney or anything, but I'm saying that if you're looking for a unique take on the Walt Disney World and Universal Studios theme parks, with immersive looks at their stories, backstories, and histories, you've come to the right place. Head on over to iTunes, Stitcher, or Podomatic to subscribe to and download the Storybook Radio podcast each and every Wednesday. You can also check out www.storybookradio.com for more details and more content.
Folks, rumor has it that one of the big revitalizations of an attraction is going to be debuting this May when Maelstrom is successfully converted over to Frozen Ever After. This got me thinking about, you know, attractions in the parks that we feel are maybe a little bit past their prime or past their time and could use a refurb or an overhaul, if you will. So that is why this week for our e-ticket attraction of the week, Pete and I are detailing our top refurbishable rides in each park. So this was an interesting one.
Yep.
So what we've done is we've each taken one attraction in each park, and we're going to say why we feel it needs the overhaul, and then we're going to say what the overhaul that we would that we would put out there would be. So how'd you find making this list? Was it easy for you or more difficult?
I don't know. You know, I mean, honestly, it's hard to improve on Imagineers. So
I agree. Like, they're already on the cutting edge.
Right.
But, you know, and our listeners had a lot of really great ideas, too. Like, they were commenting along and whatnot.
Oh, good. I'm excited about hearing that.
Okay, so you want to start in Animal Kingdom?
Yes.
So in Animal Kingdom, I went with Cali River Rapids.
Okay.
I just feel like the I'm sure it has a story. I just, for the life of me, I can't remember it. And I feel like the ride is just kind of lame duck at certain points.
Okay.
And I know you agree with me on that. You've said it many times.
I do. Actually, you know, I'm not a fan.
Here's my idea to refurbish it. You turn it into Baloo's Bear Necessities River.
And, oh, that's pretty good.
Yep. You give it a Bear Necessities Jungle Book theme. You have like the monkeys in the trees and you pass some animatronic Baloo's in the water here and there. Still gets soaked. It's still a river rapid, but they're playing Bear Necessities. Just like, you know, he sings Bear Necessities while floating down the river.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Thank you.
And, you know, Baloo is an animal, so it would work in Animal Kingdom.
And you can meet Baloo in Animal Kingdom. So it's
right.
It also works.
Right, and I gotta be honest with you, any other year I would be like, it's just not relevant enough for people to care or for kids to even know who Baloo is.
Right.
But, you know, with Jungle Book in the theaters this year.
Exactly.
You know, maybe not bad.
With an attraction, I feel like it has to be something immortalized because, you know, like, it's going to be there long after the summer is over and that movie is old news.
Right.
What do you have for Dak?
Okay, now this is going to be one I cheated on. And I know you're going to be like, you love that ride. Listen, I gotta be honest with you. Dinosaur needs work.
I thought you were putting poachers back into Kilimanjaro Safaris.
I do love our version of Safari. I thought it'd be much cooler. Right. But Dinosaur for real needs some work. And
okay,
you know, it's just the ride has no depth. You know, so
what do you mean? I mean, you love this ride. So where do you feel it lacks?
I'll explain. You know, and again, I hate to be like, oh, Disneyland, but you know, it's pretty much a clone of Indiana Jones. You know, same ride vehicle. It's the same format. When
you've become such a Disneyland snob after the one trip that you did.
I've been there more than once.
Yeah, but you know, this just popped up after that last trip that you took. Did they like indoctrinate you in Disneyland or something like that? Like, did they make you look at a screen or something? Because everyone that goes to Disneyland is all of a sudden posting in the group about, oh, Disneyland.
Well, how do you take that, Kevin? Maybe it is that good.
Or maybe there's something mystical going on here that I have to get to the bottom of.
Okay, so Indiana Jones has a lot of like depth like and scope as far as like when you're in your ride vehicle, you're not just surrounded by four walls. You're constantly – you can see other parts of the ride. I got to be honest with you. At some point, you can see other ride vehicles, which works because you're in this like crazy temple and like, you know, there's like stuff going on. Dinosaur being 75% in the dark, that ride – I mean, honestly, that ride could not even be moving. They could just be shaking the car, and I'd believe it because you don't see anything.
It is a bit dark at some points in time.
You know, when that ride first opened, there were more dinosaurs in the beginning, and you started hearing things about how some of the skins were coming off the audio animatronics, and it just never, ever recovered. It's like you were going into the dark, and if you see a dinosaur, you might also miss it because it is completely pitch black so much.
Right.
And I just think that ride needs a very simple – I mean, not simple. Listen, I know it would be expensive, and you're talking about more audio animatronics. I don't think the story needs work. I don't think the ride vehicle needs work. I think your sight lines need work. I think people need to see something in that ride.
You know, I'm going to follow you on this one. I like what you're saying.
I mean, I get something like Space Mountain where you're really – you know, you can't see anything in Space Mountain either really for the most part. But I get it. It's just a roller coaster and you're not seeing the drops and it's crazy. This is a ride where you're actually in the midst of a story and should be seeing prehistoric times.
Right. I mean, Space Mountain, you're in space.
Right.
So it works. What would you do if, like, they take your advice, and then, like, you turn a corner at the end, and it's the house from Dinosaurs, and you see Earl Sinclair walk out with his, like, in his, like, flannel shirt? Friend!
See? That's synergy right there. Bringing some Disney ABC stuff back. Yeah, that's a good
absolutely.
Idea.
You know, baby Sinclair, not the mama.
It's a good idea.
Ethel
I like
rolls
that.
Out in her wheelchair. Meanwhile, the Carnotaurus is still chasing you.
Right.
Okay, so you know what bothered me in that show? Like, his best friend was a T-Rex.
Right.
But there were other dinosaurs that they were, like, scared of for being carnivores. And I'm like, your best friend's a T-Rex.
Right.
That's, like, the carnivore.
Yeah, I mean, he's like the big guy.
Yeah. I don't know. I love that show, but we have, you know, that show terrified me as a child.
I got to be honest with you, and I'm older than you, so I just wasn't as interested in it. I didn't love the look of the show.
Well, I mean, it was very Henson-inspired.
Yeah, I
which
know.
Which I love.
Something about it. You know I like everything Henson.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, that just didn't work for me.
Like everything Henson?
Well,
like Bear in the Big Blue House?
No, but some things.
Okay.
They got these little, they're called Moopets. I think they're pretty cool.
Moopets. What is a Moopet?
The Moopets.
You mean from like from the Muppet movie, like the evil versions of the Muppets?
I actually really did like the Muppets. Are you bummed out? I'm hearing big rumors that Muppets is not coming back.
I mean, that's been... I've come to terms with it. I enjoy that show. I thought it was hysterical, but I see where it didn't catch on.
I mean, I really liked it.
I really liked that show a lot. But you know what? Like, we were prepared for this, because from right in the beginning, remember, we were just kind of like, this is a one and done.
Yeah.
I mean, you were shouting it from the rooftops until you really liked that first episode.
I know. I really like the whole season. I don't typically find television programming to be rewatchable.
Right.
And there's a lot going on in the formula of the delivery that I feel like you almost miss things at times, how funny some of the lines as you're walking away from a skit are. I just thought it was really great.
I get
Uncle
you.
Deadly just steals that season.
He does. Uncle Deadly is the best. And you know, honestly, you know who I thought was going to be the best part of the series and I ended up really disliking?
Who?
Sam the Eagle.
You know, and you know how I feel about Sam.
He's one of our favorites. He's your favorite. He's one of my favorites. But like
I agree
the whole
with you.
Like, he would never fall in love with a dirty hippie.
No, they used him wrong.
Yeah.
And I think his character, especially in today's like climate where everyone kind of has a political opinion.
Right.
I mean, I thought he was going to be gold on that show.
Me too. And, you know, like having him fall in love with Janice, like, you know, like it would never happen. Like, why?
Yeah, it's completely nonsensical.
And like, you know, and I get it. Like, oh, it's a silly show. Like, you know, deal with it. But at the end of the day, if you're going to sell me the premise that this show is based on romantic relationships, I need to feel a reason for this, you know. For Sam, who has never had anything but contempt for any other Muppet that was not Wayne or Wanda,
right?
To suddenly be into this filthy hippie.
You know who is great on that show, though? Not to go off on total Muppets rant here, but and is not my favorite. But I thought their use of Scooter was fantastic.
Oh, Scooter was hysterical in this one.
Yeah, Scooter was great.
Having Scooter be like he's living at home with his mom, like his mom. What was his mom's boyfriend's name? Is it Derek or something?
Yeah,
Derek.
It was good. You know,
I didn't see the second half of the series, by the way. I didn't see the second half of the season. I haven't seen anything since they came back from winter break.
Oh, I got to tell you, I mean, I feel like the show actually improved.
Because
well, like
they changed
that.
Directions. Like, they changed showrunners and everything to try to kind of right the course. But,
you know, I also think that, like, characters like Rizzo, who, you know, I don't like.
Oh, I love Rizzo.
But in that tight-knit kind of, like, you know, office kind of feel, I thought it was really good.
Yeah, him and Pepe were always hysterical. I loved anything Gonzo, Rizzo, Pepe. I cried at one episode. I cried the episode where Gonzo becomes a daredevil again.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. When Gonzo flies out of that cannon and Kermit's like, you did it! Like there were tears.
I like that.
Yep. All right, so Disney's Hollywood Studios. What are you changing here? I'll let you go first this time.
I have to change, and I don't have a fantastic idea, but you have to change Little Mermaid.
Yes, you do.
I know it's not a ride, but that show. And don't
no,
give
it's
me
rides
wrong,
and attractions, so you're good.
I love the score to Little Mermaid. I like the music. I think it's fantastic. I can listen to it all day long. And you know what? Every time I go to that, it's actually crowded. But that it's so unbelievably dated 80s.
It is.
You know, the laser graphics. I would rather, you know, you could use that venue for a musical, you know, the same type of show, but for almost any new movie Disney has.
Right.
You know, it's a one room. You could make that in, I mean, Alice in Wonderland is, you know, that's like a big thing for them right now. Burton's, you know, Alice in Wonderland. You could make that a half hour stage show with all the crazy characters in Wonderland, and it would still, you know, it would have pull, and you'd be pushing new products.
Oh, yeah. Or like every, and then like you have it run for like a year until the next big movie comes right. out, and then you change.
Right. I think they could do, I mean, listen, I would, in my heart, I would love to see something crazy. I would love to see like a Poppins show where like, you know, we do the songs for Mary Poppins. You know, I know yeah. that's, you know, not exactly what they're looking for right now, but I mean, there's so many ways you can go in an inexpensive way in the same building that doesn't have to be, you know, crazy redone or, you know, remake it. I think there have to be a lot of people who don't even do that Little Mermaid.
You know, and here's the thing. We all thought that, you know, Little Mermaid was on the chopping block. With all of this stuff that's going on.
Right.
But I bet you we have that for years to come still, because it does not look like that construction is not touching it.
I know, it's hard to believe though.
But at least we're keeping One Man's Dream.
Yeah, I love One Man's Dream.
I do too. Okay, so in Hollywood Studios, my update goes to The Great Movie Ride. I love it to death. It's one of my favorite things to do in studios. However,
we just updated Great Movie Ride.
Yeah, but no, it was not actually updated. We got Robert Osborne's boring voice.
Now we have everything we ever wanted to know about Robert Osborne's in that video.
I don't think we know. Like, I don't know. I think I still have some unanswered questions about Robert Osborne.
Oh, I wanted to know nothing about him.
Like what if I wanted to know, like, what you know, how does he like his steak cooked?
Can I tell you my least favorite? I'm sure I already told you this, but can I tell you my least favorite moment in the new Great Movie Ride?
Okay.
When the person comes on board your vehicle to commandeer it.
Yeah.
Robert Osborne says something ridiculous like, time to go to the concession stand or something like that.
Yeah. Like Robert Osborne, you are a disembodied voice. Why does this 1930s gangster frighten you?
Right, I was just so like,
where
boy.
Are you going? Why aren't you trying to save us, Robert Osborne?
How about a call to 911?
Yeah, you know what? Maybe instead of going to get a popcorn, you could actually like help. Like maybe call someone that can help us before we all get robbed and murdered.
This guy's asking for my jewels.
This cowboy has a revolver pointed at me.
Oh, Robert Osborne.
And then he pops back in where he's just like, I've seen enough movies to know you shouldn't even think about touching that jewel. And I'm like, Robert Osborne, whose side are you on here?
No, you've been hiding here the whole time, huh?
But like he's trying to like save the gangster's life. I'm like, Robert Osborne, we're captives right now. Like we're hostages. And she's about to kill herself, you know, through this mystical orb. Maybe don't try to save her life at the last second.
Yeah, so that's like the reboot that you really wanted.
Right. You know, I picture like when Robert Osborne like says that line about, I wouldn't even think about touching that. I picture him like walking back into the room with like a popcorn and a soda being like, oh, I've seen enough movies to know you shouldn't even think about touching that.
But as long as he's out of the vehicle, I'm good.
But, you know, this is me as a casual, you know, unbiased observer. It's like, really, really, Robert Osborne, unbiased? I thought we had a connection here. I listened to you in that pre-show area for 45 minutes while they loaded all the Fast Pass people on. Thanks a lot, Robert Osborne. So first thing I do is I take Robert Osborne, the ingrate, out of Great Movie Ride. But I think you have to upgrade some of those scenes. Like, for instance, like the one that they show you with like the glitzy like girls in the pyramid.
Right. Oh, no, I love that.
I'm like, I don't need that. Like, I feel like there needs to be more contemporary movies in there that people actually know.
I agree with that. You know what? As much as I love that, I love it because of the nostalgia. And I don't mean nostalgia to the movies. I mean to the ride.
Yes.
You're right. I mean, that ride, I love the ride so much that I would be cool with them taking some things out. Like, you know what? I mean, crazy as it sounds, everyone's probably like, oh man, you must love the alien scene. That alien scene looks so bad. I'm okay with them replacing it with something.
The only thing that looks good in that is the Sigourney Weaver, because she just looks petrified.
I mean, it's just so not good. And now, don't get me wrong, there are things I would be upset if they changed. I love not necessarily, I mean, of course I do love the Wizard of Oz like room, but I like where you actually see like, you know, the Emerald City. John Wayne on the horse to me looks so good that if they ever got rid of that, I mean, I won't ride it anymore. And I'm not some John Wayne guy, but it looks fantastic.
Yeah, but like things like Wizard of Oz and like John Wayne, those are icons. Like there are other things you can get rid of. Like honestly, the gangster scene. I feel like there are other gangster movies. Like, why isn't that The Godfather? Like,
well, yeah, I get it. I get why it's not The Godfather, because at the same time, you're they have no reason to promote something like The Godfather, nor would they, as it is not in any way, shape, or form like a family film.
Nor is any of the movies that they're talking
right.
about.
No, I know, Public Enemy and all that, but
Public
that's
Enemy
different.
Is 100% not a family film.
Right, but they're trying to show the progress of movies and types of movies over the years. If you're going to get specific and not show crazy vintage movies and have more modern, you know, bloodbaths like Godfather, you know, just
I would
kind of,
also yeah, and I would also like them to change that Fantasia room and make it something that's actually like a thing.
Yeah, you know, I don't feel like that room you get a good view even of like Mickey and all that stuff. It's
a just
weird
Mickey on a screen, like,
yeah,
like, give me an animatronic or something.
Yeah, they could do that too, you know. Listen, I mean, you know this because you know me, but Tarzan's my favorite thing in the world. Yeah. The Tarzan room is ridiculous.
Oh, that's awful.
You could make it something else.
Yeah, you could totally make that something. And you know what? I feel like that room would be better if Tarzan looked better.
Yeah, well, it stinks because the one, you know, you side on the left where you have like the elephant and all that looks pretty cool.
Yep.
And then the side on the right with the Tarzan is just so, I don't know.
And like the worst is like when you're in like the second car and like you come in and he's like just finishing his swing, you might not see him.
Right. Well, listen, everything about being in the second car stinks anyway.
Yeah. I love when it like it goes over and you can actually sometimes see it turn around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh. Okay, so Epcot. I'll go first for Epcot. For Epcot, I would redo Journey into Imagination with Figment.
Okay.
And I would change it to be more in line with the comic book of Figment, which I believe could be an amazing movie. Put the Dreamfinder back in it, and it's an actual journey into imagination. Like, you actually go into that imagination world with, like, the pixies and stuff like that.
I'd be cool with that, because I really feel like there's not too much imagination stuff.
No, there's not. It's all about the
rhyme.
Senses.
Right, I don't really understand that, because my kids don't imagine, like, eye charts.
Yeah, but, like, you know, go into that magical world with all the, because, like, they had some really inventive creatures in that comic book.
Oh, yeah.
So, that I mean, I would definitely just gut it and redo the entire thing. Like, still keep the whole Imagination Institute thing, but, you know, maybe, like, the Dreamfinder is your guide to, like, go through it, and you end up falling into that, like, world.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Thank you.
I would love to see that.
What would you have for Epcot?
Okay, now my Epcot one's also, it's one of these ones where I've created a dream scenario that's not possible.
Okay.
But bear with me for a second. And I like this ride also, Ellen's Universe of Energy.
Okay, this is the one I figured you were going to change.
Okay, now let's think about this ride for a second. It needs some work. Most people are riding it just to take a nap or get out of the heat, like myself.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to change the structure of the ride, right? Like,
right.
It's going to still be about energy, because Epcot's really kind of about teaching and stuff. And I know somewhere deep down in, like, you know, the Disney company, they still want it to be that. Here's what I would do. So much of this ride is just literal video screens. I would take something that you know, you can make into literal video screens. You know, you can show basically a mini movie here that would bring in people. What would I do? Now, again, I get they can't do this legally. I would have it be Iron Man.
Okay, they can't do that legally.
No. But how cool would it be to have Tony Stark explain about energy and what energy means to our world?
Oh, that would be amazing.
Now, first off, let me just say the real change needed here is not Tony Stark instead of Ellen DeGeneres. It's they need to put some seats in that theater before you actually go into the theater.
Right.
Put some bench seating, people, like I have in my park, so I can sit down. Because if you're not going to have any seating, you can't yell at everyone, too, about sitting on the floor.
You know, and that's a problem that I find in a lot of the attractions, because those load areas are just standing there, and these people have been walking all day, everyone's been on their feet, and this is a very fat country. And people will, like at the Muppets, people try to sit on the floor all the time, and they get yelled at.
Right. Now, I never sit on the floor. But I'm always amazed that they yell at people who sit on the floor. That's surprising to me.
Yeah.
Not that it's a good idea. I get someone's going to trip and get hurt, but blah, blah, blah. Anyway, long story short, again, a ride that's mostly video. You could make, and I mean this ride would be there for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You could make a mini movie about Iron Man.
Oh, Tony Stark.
And energy. keep it real. Don't have actual arc reactor like technology, although that'd be kind of cool too. But
right.
I feel like you could really explain a lot about energy conservation.
That's an amazing idea.
I think it would all work. You can still travel back in time. There's so many cool things you could do. And I'm not the guy who's typically like, just throw Marvel into everything. But I don't know.
It makes sense there, though.
A lot of Iron Man is about, you know, kind of like technology and energy.
Energy, yeah. The clean energy is like his big thing.
Right. I think it would work so well. And on top of that, and again, I know you can't do it, but it would draw so many people. I mean, that ride would have like a crazy weight.
But like Universal doesn't have anything with Iron Man in it. But I guess now, they still do have the rights to it.
No. I mean, listen, who knows? Maybe you could find a way to just get Robert Downey Jr. to do it. Because, you know, he pretty much acts like Tony Stark anyway.
That's true. Just make him dress and have like the facial hair and everything.
Yeah, why not?
And an arc reactor in his chest just because.
And listen, there's an audio animatronic of Ellen in that. I mean, you could probably make a pretty cool, you know, Iron Man or Tony Stark audio animatronic. I mean, it'd be so much fun. I don't know.
Do you know that I've still never done Ellen's Energy Adventure?
Like, you mean ever or since you've been there?
Ever.
Really?
Yeah. I never really have 45 minutes to blow.
It is really long. I mean, it's the only Disney ride that I can think of where beforehand they're pretty much trying to talk you out of going on it. I mean, they're constantly like, just letting you know, this ride is going to be like 37 minutes. Like, they just constantly tell you how long it is.
There are plenty of other things to go and do. We don't want to hear it once you're on the ride.
You are going to miss anything else you wanted to do for the next 45 minutes.
I think that's the best. That's probably the best idea we've heard all day.
And I know it's impossible, but I just feel like it would be so cool.
It would be. So Magic Kingdom, what do you got?
Magic Kingdom, I'm again just going completely outside the box and thinking in a, you know, technology that probably is not yet invented kind of way.
Right.
You know, a ride that I hate at Magic Kingdom is Astro Orbiters.
Yes, I know.
I feel like it's absolutely pointless in every way, shape, or form.
Okay, I'm with you on this.
It only does one cool thing, and that's, you know, it's kind of almost like a Tomorrowland weenie. Like, it's something cool to look at.
Yeah, I will say, I'm building it right now in my Magic Kingdoms game.
And you hate it, right?
I mean, you know, probably.
You're hating yourself for building it.
Yes, but I have to build it because it's part of the mission to take down Zurg.
Right, okay, so you gotta do it.
Zurg is just strutting around my Magic Kingdom right now, Pete, and I have got to stop him.
I really should get in on this game.
Yeah, and the first the whole first like saga is Pete, not you, Disney Pete.
Right,
Pete's like strutting around, like making like scaring kids and stuff like that, and you have to Mickey and Goofy have got to get rid of him. But after that, it's Zurg, and you know we have to stop him. Continue.
You know how I feel about Zurg. I like Zurg, so maybe I'll pick that up.
Yeah, but there's this awesome scene. Not to cut you, there's this awesome scene when Zurg first shows up, and it's like a full like animated like scene, and it's Zurg like in front of Space Mountain, and he's like taking over Space Mountain.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty cool. All right, go ahead.
All right, so here's what I'm thinking. You find a way to dome Astro Orbiters.
Dome it, okay.
Just a little tiny dome.
Dome, sweet dome.
Now, in my mind. Again, if you dome it, you're no longer being able to see it. But somehow, I kind of almost feel like we could have the two-way mirror technology somehow so that you could kind of see into the dome and actually see it, but yet the people inside cannot see out.
Interesting.
Inside, I would love if somehow, because, you know, actually part of my problem with that ride is it actually makes you a little nauseous because it spins you so tight, so fast when you go down to the bottom.
Yeah.
So I feel like having things in the distance kind of work. So now I'm like kind of cutting that off. But I feel like if you like did a play on the technology they use in Nemo, where they manage to actually make it look like there's some animation and some depth mm-hmm. like in the ride, if you could use that projections in this dome to make it look like you're in space, and again, man, you can go any which way you want for this. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
You could tie it into a movie somehow. You could make it the space thing. But if you made it look like you were actually in like space and stuff was going on, you know what I mean? I think it would work. The things they do.
Or
you know, animation
you could just ride it at night.
Right. But then you'll still just see the castle and
right.
the moon.
True. The moon is in space, though.
It is in space. You won't be, but it is.
Right. Okay.
Right. So that's what I would just like an improvement on the Astro Orbiters. So maybe one day I would actually consider going on.
So maybe it's more than just a really high version of Dumbo.
Right.
With I've honestly considered going on it, but the line is always really long for it.
I know. It's crazy.
It's because of the elevator.
Could people want to go on an elevator?
No, it's because they have to take the elevator up and I think that's what keeps the line long.
No, you might be right about that because when you get off that elevator, you go into a holding pen and then your group's next. So
right.
You're probably right about that. Listen, I love that line's long. I always look at it like, hey, there's 200 people that aren't on something I want to go on.
That aren't going on the TTA right now.
Exactly.
Okay, so My Magic Kingdom, which is actually, I had this idea earlier, and it was kind of the linchpin for wanting to do this topic.
Oh, good. What is it?
Stitch's Great Escape.
I was going to do that.
Yeah. I want to know if you, I want to see if you had the same idea as me, because, all right, so I want this themed as a prequel to Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, wow.
And it is a Nova Corps prison. And it's Rocket Raccoon's Great Escape. And it's one of the 20-something prisons that Rocket Raccoon has escaped from.
That's a great idea.
And instead of the Stitch, you have Rocket Raccoon, and Rocket breaks out, and you do some kind of effect with Groot, and you basically have Rocket Raccoon escaping the Nova Corps prison.
I think it's a great idea. I mean, if I could see them, and this is probably why I didn't do it, because I couldn't wrap my head around anything other than they need to make that thing more kid-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't mean... it's got to be for little kids. I mean, all the stupid dark stuff in that is just not fun. Whereas I feel like if you did a Rocket Raccoon adventure, man, that'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Right.
The lights keep coming back on and he's fighting, he's shooting at Nova Corps. And,
yeah. Tons of one-liners.
Tons of one-liners. He gets some guy's leg at one point.
Yeah, I think it'd be great. I mean, even, instead of having, breathing like they did with the alien and stuff like that.
Or belching
in your
face. I don't need to smell things.
Right. You'd have, little one-liners kind of whispered behind you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just
great. Could you imagine, he's saying it to you, it's an inside joke between you and him. Hey, could you believe this guy?
About the guy next to you. Oh, it'd be great.
Oh, that's awesome. That would be so good. I would love it. Ready to hear what our friends around the world had to say about this topic?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Amanda Welker says, Swiss Family Treehouse should be updated and redesigned to Pixie Hollow. It would be awesome to have a pixie dust tree, and that be where we meet the fairies. And if you climb the tree, you can see the fairy houses and the Tinker Fairy work area. She says, but the meet and greet has to be on ground level, not up in the tree, and make holographic pixie dust so you can walk under it. That's a pretty cool idea.
Yeah, you know what? That's not, again, you couldn't have a meet and greet up there because...
Right.
How would you do a line? But you know what? Awesome idea.
Yeah. You have to do something with that area. So Tara Dawn says, this is not my idea, but I support it fully. Turning the Tomorrowland Speedway into a Sugar Rush themed attraction from Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah. I mean, I always, even, simpler than that, I always wondered why they didn't make the cars look like cars from Cars.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
I mean, it doesn't seem really hard, but
right.
You know what? I don't know. I guess they just kind of wanted to keep it, the way it was always intended to be.
Melissa Johnson says, the last scene in Carousel of Progress, update the technology and modernize it.
No.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I'm very against that.
I
enjoy the ambiguous scene of the future.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that oven, I want to get that oven that cooks at 1,000 degrees.
Yeah, and Uncle Orville is still just sitting in the bathtub.
It's awesome.
No privacy here. Maybe close the door, Orville, and you'll get some privacy.
That's why we invented doors.
Yes. that one was actually in the first, area of progress, Orville. We've come a long way in this great, big, beautiful tomorrow. Leah Alton says, the whole Wonders of Life Pavilion into Inside Out. Cranium Command becomes a show inside the command center in Riley's mind. The Making of Me Theater is a dream theater show, and Body Wars could be either the trade of thought or a journey throughout all of Riley's mind, a la Star Tours. Also, they could repurpose the Wonder Cycles to be used to design and explore personalized personality islands. I love this.
I do, too. I don't know if they would go that crazy for something as unproven as Inside Out.
We have to see how Inside Out does in the future, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, think about how long it took them to really do...
Cars Land?
things for Toy Story, even. You know, I mean, I know we had Buzz Lightyear, but that's one ride, you know?
True, like you're talking about an entire pavilion based entirely around.
Yeah, I can't imagine them doing it. It doesn't seem like it's something they're going to sequel or push, but man, it would be so cool.
I could see them doing, like, you know, Wonders of Life was such a great educational area because you learned about the body and you learned about how you are alive. So, you know, so, I mean, listen, some of the attractions in there were not the best.
Yeah, but it was fun. I miss it.
Yeah, so, some of it was fun, and some of it was akin to sitting through a 10-hour Extra Magic Hour marathon.
Right.
You know, it's just not something you want to do. Melissa Steele says, retheme Swiss Family Treehouse to Tarzan, make it a zipline-style ride through the trees. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, the Disneyland one is Tarzan.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm
cool.
Sure they did that when Tarzan was new and popular.
Yeah, oh yeah, which was, you know, a long time ago. But it is cool. I like that they're different. You know, I actually would really love for Disney World to get some kind of a zipline ride.
Yeah.
I don't mean a crazy, like,
I don't
one,
think you'll ever
go
get
over
it.
The park, but I mean, just a little, like, you know.
You'll never
you could,
get
please,
that.
You could zipline on, like, a giant tire. You know what I mean? Something right. Simple.
Yeah, but there's too many things that can go wrong with that.
Yeah, you might be right.
Especially because Orlando actually had a zipline incident, like, about a year or so ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, in the Artigan Mall, there's a ropes course made by the same company that made the one I used to work for in New York.
Okay.
And on Christmas Eve, an adult slipped right out of the zip line and died.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
that's not good.
I'm not all about zip lines after that. Katarina Dupree says, Chester and Hester's and retheme it to the Good Dinosaur. Add a dark ride journeying through the story. I like that idea, too.
Yeah, I do, too. Just same thing. Good Dinosaur didn't do good enough for...
Yeah. Jillian Saro says, take Ellen's Energy Adventure and make a motion simulator like Star Tours ride of it. Of all extinct Disney attractions, a Disney Parks ride through time, if you will. I like that idea.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. Cassandra Southworth said, update Stitch's Great Escape. It would be cool to have an interactive experience where you get to make your own experiment. That'd be cool. Like keeping it to the Stitch theme.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Krista Summer says, I would turn Spaceship Earth into a one-man's dream-style History of Walt ride-through. Then I'd add two smaller double geodesic domes on top of the golf ball so that it looks like Mickey. Tim Elbing Jr. says, Wonders of Life Pavilion can become an inside-out themed attraction, complete with meet-and-greets, personality islands, etc. Omega Blanton says, change the Tomorrowland Speedway into something Cars-themed since Florida doesn't really have anything like California Adventure does. Like what you said. Michael Fernandez says the Odyssey restaurant in Epcot, only used now as a beer lounge during Food and Wine, could be cool to maybe put in an Adventurers Club type restaurant. Kate Smith says put the Mad Tea Party in the dark with black lights with surprises of the Cheshire Cat appearing, etc., and make it more of a thrill ride. Tara Dawn says turn Stitch into an Incredibles attraction or Big Hero 6 or Meet the Robinsons, anything but Stitch. Jamie Doris says, most of my ideas have already been mentioned, so I'll go out on a limb a bit and suggest an upgrade to Buzz Lightyear. I know it's a must-do for many, but they should redo it in such a way that it's less cardboard cutout with day-glow paint and more realistic and immersive. And while they're at it, they can fix it up so you have a bit more control. The beads are easier to see, and you have a better idea of where you're aiming. Or better yet, change it to a Star Wars ride. Michael Bo Michael says, I also want to redo Wonders of Life, but I would make it a robotics pavilion. Baymax would host a flying through San Francisco motion simulator ride replacing Body Wars. What was once Crane and Command would place guests inside an adventure with Wally and Eve. Instead of the Making of Me, a short 4D movie would bring back characters from the black hole. Hands-on exhibits would be placed throughout the pavilion, including roving robots that interact with guests. And let's not forget, meet and greet with characters from Wall-E and Big Hero 6. I like this idea.
Okay, listen, I like that idea too, but I got to stop you right there.
Black hole.
Vincent is one of my all-time favorite characters. I own more Vincent stuff than any human being should own. There is no way ever that they would be like, let's bring back some black hole characters. I mean, there's no other Disney movie that would be like less likely to be brought back.
I know.
Song of the South back before they will bring back anything from the black hole. Trust me.
You could. Why? Is it like, is it bad?
I watch it, I bet you, once a year. It's, okay. I liked it a lot as a kid. And it's got some really cool Peter Allen Shaw, like matte paintings and stuff. But I mean, that movie is just, there's not much redeeming stuff in it.
Andrew Zona says, I know this is untouchable and just had to be a reefer, but Peter Pan's Flight would be cool as an Aladdin carpet ride. The magic carpets just don't do the blockbuster movie justice. Pan's Flight could also be made into an Up theme. Pretty sure that's okay the way it is.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's like sacrilege.
He also says Jungle Cruise should be remodeled after the upcoming Jungle Book movie. Andrew, why don't you just punch my mother in the face while you're at it?
Seriously. You know what would be great? If we made the Jungle Cruise, like, let's cut out all the stupid jokes.
Yeah. You know what people hate about the Jungle Cruise? All the jokes. We need to act like these bathing elephants are actual elephants, and this is what right. They do.
Let me enjoy the actual animals.
Chrissy Hartman says they need to do something to Journey into Imagination. I'd love to see it as an ode to Disney Imagineering, but would also accept the rumored Inside Out redo or a return to the Rainbow Tunnel version of my youth. Ben Power, real name, by the way, says, great topic. Love to see an Inside Out overlay to a new and improved body pavilion. Have a dark ride around emotions, a thrill ride following the memories, and an educational video about the body as a whole, keeping into the plan of Epcot. Add an invention lab sponsored by Mr. Robinson in the Imagination Pavilion when updating Figment and Dreamfinder to a much better dark ride. And finally, update the ride in Dinoland USA that I can't remember the name to be themed to the Good Dinosaur with a Western-themed attraction. Justin Hoffman says, retheme and shorten Ellen's Energy Adventure to be a Wally ride through illustrating the implications of excess waste on the planet and the benefits of recycling, but imagine it up so that it's not as boring as that sounded. Katie Nelson says, update the Great Movie Ride, movies that are more up-to-date and recent. Andrew Zona says, Tomorrowland overhaul needs a good gutting. Rachel Odegaard says, this is probably a tad opposite of what I would like them to refurb. But I would like them to refurb Carousel Progress back to what it was at the 1964 World's Fair. I think that'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's not the worst idea in the world.
No, not at all.
I mean, at this point, the things they've added to it are kind of useless anyway.
Yeah.
I would love to see, now, I mean, I don't know how you really do it, but I would love to see an original version. I would like that way much, much more than what they have now.
Yep. Gigi Pistone says, Stitch's Great Escape needs to be updated desperately, maybe into a Big Hero 6 theme or Princess and the Frog. I think Big Hero 6 fits the Tomorrow. Like, it's got to fit the theme of the land. Like, I don't want to see a princess in Tomorrowland.
Yeah, no, I agree. Unless it was like a space princess, that'd be cool.
Justin Huffman says, oh, and Stitch needs to go. My best thought for this, if kept in a similar format, seating structure would be to replace the Stitch tube with a fast spinning element with intricate lighting with wind control. Pair this with a video screen or headset, and it could give the audience a feeling of rotational movement as they traveled along with the Incredibles while battling evil. Tiffany Walsh says, Ellen's Energy Adventure needs to be updated with no Ellen, just Bill Nye, and add in Neil deGrasse Tyson. That'd be kind of dry, wouldn't it?
Yeah, how about Iron Man?
Yeah, how about Tony Stark? Tony Stark and Neil deGrasse Tyson.
There you go.
And Tony Stark keeps telling Neil deGrasse Tyson that he's dumb. Oh, I would love that. Christina McSheffrey says, it's not a ride, but those tangled bathrooms are so spectacular. Why not add to that area? Perhaps a Snuggly Duckling Tavern, hair braiders, etc. Throw in a permanent residence for a Mother Gothel meet and greet, and I'm a happy camper. Jamie from over at Passholder.club says, I would change Figment and bring back the Dreamfinder. Also, Tomorrowland reimagined to match Shanghai Disney. I guess their Tomorrowland must be pretty cool. Brian Reynolds says, Swiss Family Treehouse and Tom Sawyer's Island. They both need to be much more interactive and attractive overall. Something along the lines of what they added to the Haunted Mansion with the touch-sensitive tombstone and the queue from Seven Dwarfs. I would also do an overall re-theme for each. Make them more relevant. Theme the Treehouse of Tarzan, even though it's a little older at this point. It's still newer than Swiss Family Robinson. Abby Causer says, I know this will be unpopular, but I would love to see Splash Mountain rethemed to anything else. The animatronics are horrifying. I find them as creepy as Pete and Kevin find the moon face from Journey into Imagination, and no one connects to those characters or even knows what film they are from.
Maybe, you know,
what?
I was going to cut you off. I kind of agree with that.
I kind of do too, but I would never want to see that happen. Maybe a less conventional suggestion. Give the People Mover a Wally overlay. It fits Tomorrowland, and there are people movers in the movie. Basically, so she's saying to make the People Mover like into the floaty chairs from Wally, where we're all just like fat and like being toted around. That's
we're
awesome.
All big and large. You know what? I mean, remaking over Splash Mountain completely unnecessary, but I wouldn't mind it.
Daniel Curzo says, I agree something needs to be done with the Wonders of Light Pavilion. I mean, geez, it's been just hanging out there in limbo since 2007. I also wouldn't mind seeing Mission Space leave. I'm just not really impressed with that ride. I agree with her. I'd rather have them bring back an updated Horizons, to be honest with you. And geez, bring back the Dreamfinder and Figment to their glory days. It doesn't have to be the original ride exactly, but definitely something in the same vein. I also think the Jeremy Irons version of Spaceship Earth is much better than this current one, even with the Your Future bit. I also think there should be some more original rides and attractions as opposed to ones that are character-based. Even though I know it's Disney and they want to incorporate their characters as much as possible, I think the original ones are way more magical in my opinion. Not saying that I have a problem with or disagree with rides featuring movies or characters, but it just seems like most newer upcoming attractions are exclusively character-based. I could go on forever, but then I will write a whole novel.
Yeah, I think it's hard. You know, I mean, I'm sure there are people who really like the... You know, who did it? Was it Walter Cronkite that did Spaceship Earth?
I think you latch on to,
you know, what you really grew accustomed to. I mean, I prefer the Jeremy Irons one also. Now, when I look back at, like, Spaceship Earth then, you know, the end was so different, kind of cheesy, and people were kind of, like, talking on video screens. And it was weird. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't have that one to go back to, but... I'm sure the ride is better now. I'm sure that's the way rides always are. I'm sure they only improve them. But you become accustomed to, you know, the version that you liked, you know?
I would like to see them retheme Spaceship Earth to Jeremy Irons again, but he's playing Alfred the Butler. And it's like in between. It's like he's explaining about the Earth while he's building new things for Batman. And occasionally Ben Affleck like butts in and is like, Alfred, I need that grappling hook so I can kill more people in this movie. And
you know, it's funny, my buddy Sean pointed out that Alfred in that movie is like the biggest enabler in the world.
Alfred has always been the biggest enabler in the world.
Just like, you know, oh, this great, you don't even need this grappling hook, you're just going to go and do something awful, but here it is.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, it's so funny.
Yeah. No, but Alfred's Irons. Always the enabler. That's always been Alfred's, you know.
It's his MO.
It's always Alfred's MO. Yeah. All right. And that's what our friends around the world had to say about this topic.
It seems like a lot of us are on the same pages.
I think so, too. I think, you know, Imagineers take note. Our audience is growing. I mean, maybe if there is an Imagineer out there, I would love to hear from you.
Seriously.
Just saying. Kevin at WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com. Drop me a line because I would love not to have you on the show because I know you can't do that. But I would like to know if there's an Imagineer listening. Wouldn't you?
But couldn't anyone just email us that and be like, yes?
They could, but I'd like to think that our listeners are a bit more, you know, than that. Classy.
Stay classy.
San Diego. Okay, so anything else you wanted to get to this week?
No, I think we covered a lot.
We did. All right, well, that's going to do it for Two Men in the Mouse this week, folks. Thank you. This was a fun one, and you know, we were able to get you guys involved in it a lot. If you want to involve yourself in the future, go over to our Facebook discussion group at facebook.com/groups/Two Men in the Mouse, and you know, I post every single Monday about what we're talking about, so you can check it out there. But also, please give the rest of our social media pages some love. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/twomeninthemouse, on Twitter at twomeninthemouse, Instagram at whitedragonpn, Twitter for the network at whitedragonpn, and Facebook for the network at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network. If you want your questions answered on the show, send an email to questions@twomeninthemouse.com. And if you like the show, folks, please just do us the honor of sharing it. Tweet it out, talk it up, give it a rating and review in iTunes, even just tell one friend to listen. It always helps so, so much. If you love our good friend Peter Mandel at his comic book store, Rogue Comics, here in Cranford, New Jersey, check him out at 105 North Union Avenue, Cranford, New Jersey, 07016, or head over to roguecomics.com where you can find a link to Pete's eBay store. If you are planning a trip to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise, Adventures by Disney, any Disney park throughout the known world, or Aulani out in Hawaii, please look up our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weichert of Magical Travel. You can always find Dave on Facebook as Magical Travel Dave, or email him dave@magicaltravel.com. Also, folks, if you are looking to dazzle your dinner guests at your next party, go to thecookandwookie.com for all of your recipe needs. And if you are renting a stroller or crib for your next Walt Disney World vacation, check out our good friends over at kingdomstrollers.com and save up to a whopping 50%. And keep track of the money that you're spending at Walt Disney World, folks, with Magic Band Budget, an app on the iPhone iOS store. You can also find it at magicbandbudget.com. And for me, please just check out my website. We're going to be having some information on my novel, Rocinante, coming out very soon as far as pre-orders go. You should expect an announcement on that within the next 2 weeks. You can find that at authorkevinjkessler.com or facebook.com/KevinJKesslerAuthor and follow me on Twitter at Kevin J. Kessler. Okay, thank you so much for joining us again this and every week. Pete, any closing words?
Another good show, Kevin.
Another good show. Pete, 105 of them and many, many more. Please, folks, keep the magic alive every day of your lives, and we will see you next week on Two Men and the Mouse.
So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow just a dream away.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors until the monorail stops completely and the doors open. If this concludes your visit, we hope you've had a wonderful time and will return home safely. Thank you for traveling with us.